In the name of the glorious Trinity, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, forever. Amen. Glory be to the everlasting mercies which sent you to us, O Christ, the light of the world and the life of all. Give us wisdom by your law and enlighten our impulses by your knowledge. Sanctify our souls by your truth and grant that we may be obedient to your words and may fulfill your commandments at every hour. O you who enlightens the rational with the knowledge of your greatness, do enlighten, O my Lord, our thoughts, that we may meditate upon your holy and divine scriptures at all times, O Lord of all, Father and Son and Holy Spirit forever. Amen.
When the internet, the WWW web, was first introduced, the dial-up, remember the dial-up? You had this noise over the on the telephone. I recall being at my cousin's house in Chicago, and I think it was back in 1994. It was winter, so we were in the basement. By the way, shout out to Josip and Zaya Mikhail, my cousins. Yes, sir, we. They know what I'm talking about. So I'm surfing the net while hearing my auntie and my cousin scream, Josip, get off the internet, we need the phone. And all while I was engaged in a long dialogue with a random person who asked me if he would go to hell because he had blasphemed the Holy Spirit. And he kept on insisting that he would go to hell. There was no repentance, there was no forgiveness because he had blasphemed the Holy Spirit, referring to what Christ warns in Matthew chapter 12, verse 31, Mark chapter 3, verses 28 to 30, and Luke chapter 12, verse 10. Now, that question always comes up, and discussions often take place on the topic, and I'm quite certain that you may have that question in mind, and I pray that today, by listening to this episode, you will receive your Spirit-inspired answer according to the understanding, the interpretation, and the practice of this warning as told and taught and upheld by the Church and the Holy Church Fathers. And let's go no further than St. John Chrysostom. Let me read St. John Chrysostom's interpretation and commentary on this verse. And bear with me, it's a little long, but the title is Blasphemy Against the Holy Spirit. And St. John Chrysostom writes, what is Jesus saying at this point? He is saying to the Pharisees, those who are opposing, those who blasphemed, you have spoken many things against me. You have called me a deceiver and an adversary or an opponent of God. These things I forgive you upon your repentance. So when you repent, I will forgive you. There will be no penalty exacted. But blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven, not even to those who repent. This is St. John Chrysostom's commentary, interpretation. But how could this be right, he says. For even this was forgiven upon repentance. Those who received Jesus Christ, those who blasphemed, and then later on in the book of Acts, we read chapter 2, when Simon presents his sermon and 3,000 believe, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Now, there may have been people, and I'm sure, that had blasphemed the Holy Spirit, but they were forgiven upon repentance. Many at least of these, or those who said these words, believed afterward, St. John Chrysostom writes, and all was forgiven them. What is it then that Christ was implying? That this sin is above all things inexcusable. Why so? St. John Chrysostom writes, because they might have been ignorant of Jesus, not knowing who he was, and who he might be. But of the Spirit they could not be ignorant due to their own previous experience, for the prophets had spoken by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. He goes on, the Old Testament as a whole had an exalted understanding of the Holy Spirit. What he says then, that is, what is Jesus saying then, is this: so be it. You may be offended at me because of the humanity I have assumed, but you cannot say the same of the Holy Spirit. You cannot claim not to know the Spirit. Therefore, your blasphemy has no excuse, and you will suffer the consequences both here and thereafter, unless you repent, according to Acts chapter 2, and those who believed repented. So what he's saying is this, and let's put it from Jesus' mouth. You claim, O Pharisees and my opponents and the high priests, and we're going to apply this, by the way, you say, or you claim to be the children of Abraham, according to John chapter 8, verse 39, and followers of Moses and the prophets, even though they prophesied and were a prototype of me, yet they spoke and prophesied by the Spirit, as claimed by Samuel in his second book, chapter 23, verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord God spoke to me, and his word was upon my tongue. Yes, it's a prophecy of Jesus Christ, but the prophet spoke by the Spirit. This is what Jesus is saying. And this is also attested by St. Simon the Rock in his second book, chapter 1, verse 20 to 21. No prophecy is its own exposition of the Scriptures. The prophecy came not by the will of man in the ancient times, but when holy men of God spoke by being compelled by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is saying, you know the Holy Spirit, or you have heard of the Holy Spirit. You've been acquainted to the Holy Spirit. And you know that God who spoke to them, the prophets, and compelled them to speak is the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob or Israel, whom you say is the God that you worship and are awaiting his promise of the Messiah. This is what Jesus is meaning by blaspheming against the Holy Spirit is not forgivable, because they knew of the Holy Spirit. And he goes on that, you see the prophecies being fulfilled in me and by me from the day of my conception in the womb of the Virgin, foretold by Isaiah, your prophet. You know this, you understand this. And Isaiah prophesied by the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus is entailing. For example, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18, a prophet I shall raise to them from within their brethren like you, and I shall put my words in his mouth. This is a prophecy moved by the Holy Spirit and Isaiah speaking. And he shall say to them everything that I shall command him. And this was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. You know this, you see this. John 18, verse 28 to 29. Jesus said to them again, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am the Lord God, and that I do nothing from myself, but as the Father has taught me, so I speak. You know of these prophecies. Here I am. The prophecy was moved by the Holy Spirit. You may still not understand me and fathom who I am, but don't go to the point where you're now rejecting the Holy Spirit, through whom, by whom, your fathers were moved to speak. And Jesus is saying, you are witnessing the miracles. You saw these miracles. Nicodemus, leader of the Jews, comes to Jesus by night in secret, John chapter 3, verse 2. Rabbi, he says, we know that you are a teacher sent from God, for no man is able to do these miracles that you are doing unless God were with him. This all, and you blaspheme that same Spirit that is working with me? We're gonna apply this, beloved. You know, Jesus is saying, I can understand you not being able to comprehend that I am He, the Spirit, by nature, along with the Father, that is divine. But that Spirit Himself you blaspheme, you have reached a boiling point. You have reached a dangerous spot. You're in a bad position. And that point, that position is where you have denied the one who can redeem you and reinstate you. Let me say that again. They had reached the point where they had denied the one who could redeem and reinstate them. So where else were they going to go unless it be back to the Holy Spirit? The prophet Samuel puts it quite clear and precise in his first book, chapter 2, verse 25. If a man will sin against a man, he may pray before the Lord God. And if a man will sin against the Lord God, to whom will he pray? You know, Jesus is saying, you're in a very bad position. You're denying now that which is your last hope. There is nothing above the Holy Spirit, which is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the one God. You need to rethink where you're at. What's worse is the impenitence that they produced and possessed. Impenitence, not feeling remorse and regret after sin. And now this is a blasphemy at another level. So this is the Pharisees. This is the high priests. And again, some believed and some followed. Nicodemus believed and followed. And many others believed and repented and were received and were forgiven. So let's bring it home, beloved. This is a big shot, and I don't know if that person I was engaged on the internet in a dialogue is listening or not. I don't know if he was a Syrian. I don't know if he knew me. I didn't know who he was. Excuse me. But let's bring it home. I'm sure there is a time where we have committed this grievous sin. Maybe not in words, but in deeds, and we continue to do that. Let's have a look at some different types of blasphemy according to the Church Fathers. You having received the Holy Spirit through the waters of baptism, you having received the Spirit of His Son into your heart, who cries out, Father, our Father. You having been adopted as a child of God, hence when the scriptures say you are of God, meaning you are a child of God. You having been counted as a children of the mysteries, that is absolution and the cleansing we receive from the holy mysteries, the Qurbana Qadisha within the church, that very church commissioned to redeem sin by the apostolic authority granted by Christ himself, John chapter 20, verse 23. And you continue to live in sin, have no relationship with the Father, continue to live as a fatherless orphan, neglecting the participation in the mysteries, and no connection to the body of Christ, being his church, that too is blasphemy, beloved. So what is the solution? Blasphemy by word or deed or action. What is our solution? We've just ascertained that, yes, Christ will forgive. We will come back one more time and be redeemed if we return back to God. So what is our solution? Number one, remember, God is our God, your God, my God, God the creator of heavens and the earth, is a gracious, a merciful, and a compassionate God who does not desire the death of a sinner, but that he may return and repent and live. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 23. Keep in mind that our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, your Lord and your Savior Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior Jesus Christ, who continues to suffer with your weaknesses, with our weaknesses, and his throne of his grace is available to all, listen to this, the throne of the grace of Jesus Christ is available to all to draw near and receive what? Receive mercy. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 5. This is the high priest we have, beloved, is ready to receive. His throne is available to all to receive mercy, forgiveness, compassion. The Holy Spirit, which is within you, within me, and within us, who continues to teach us all things, is drawing us to God. This must be our solution. This must be our courage to come back, because the Holy Spirit is dwelling within us. John chapter 14, verse 26. The one and holy and apostolic and Catholic, denoting universal, complete, not Roman Catholic necessarily. No, the one holy and apostolic and universal or complete or Catholic church you are a member of, that church that has been commissioned to bestow and impart the mysteries of forgiveness and absolution and reinstatement one more time into the flock of Jesus Christ. We need to know this first. These are our solutions. This is our hope. And then what we need to do, see, I said, we need to know. First, we know, we believe. Faith alone is dead. Knowledge alone is dead. Wisdom alone is dead. It's foolishness, actually. Knowing this, believing this, trusting this God, our solution, our hope is to return, return, and return to the one who you blaspheme, whether by word or deeds. Repent. And again, the church fathers write that those who had committed this sin repented and were received. Simon didn't stand up during his sermon and say, those who have not blasphemed can approach and repent and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is baptism. No, no, no. What shall we do, they said. What shall we do? He said, repent, every one of you. The promise is for you and your children. So our hope, our act, our deed is number one, to know, to understand, to believe God is gracious, God will show love. That God that we have distant, and there's no other place we can go because we have sinned against God. Who do I pray to forgive me for sinning against God? If not, coming back to that same God. Come back to that God. I suggest you consult your parish priest. Consult your parish priest, who will beseech and intercede along with the prayers of the saints, imploring the gracious Lord God Jesus Christ to remove this most heavy burden and grant you the rest that he promises in his life-giving gospels, according to Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Return back to the Lord and beseech the Lord. Now, I don't want to go too much into the process that the church has for those who have blasphemed or those who have denied the faith and want to be one more time reinstated into the flock. I think I've spoken about that. And one day we will have a specific episode on the liturgy of absolution. But return back to Christ. This is the heaviest burdens and ladens. And he has promised, beloved, that he will take those away from us. So there is hope. What Christ is saying is that you're in a dangerous place. Return one more time. Christ is not saying, where you are, don't even bother. Don't even bother to return. You cannot. It's done. It's finished. No, it's not the last hour yet, or we may be living in the last hour. But those who worked that one last hour, they received the same reward. So if right now you're thinking, oh, Rabbi, if only you knew what I've done. I don't need to know. I don't need to know. God knows. come to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is awaiting your return, who went out in search of our lost condition and found us and desires our return, anticipates, eagerly waits for our return. Come to him who will embrace you and one more time reinstate you through the church that he has established on earth. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ, to him, to his Father, and to the Holy Spirit, be glory now and at all times and forever and ever. Amen.
Enjoyed this week's message. Please don't forget to rate and review this podcast and share with your friends and family. For any future topic suggestions or to give us detailed feedback, please visit our link in the show notes, linktr.ee/doubleedgedsword. Until next time, God bless you all.